From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 8th day of May, 2017. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Emerson Nafziger will join us to talk about cold, wet corn and that yellow corn you're seeing in your cornfields across the Midwest right now. We'll also hear from Todd Hubbs, agricultural economist. Check in with the cash grain folks at the Andersons here in Champaign and take a look at the weather forecast with Mark Russo. He's at Risk Pulse in Chicago on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Do look us up online at willag.org. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, to take a look at the futures markets. Thanks for being with us and on air again for this Monday afternoon, Kurt.
Well, good afternoon, Todd. It's always a pleasure to be on the air with you. Thank you.
All right. So tell me a little bit about what's been happening in Chicago. Corn and soybeans are both lower. Farmers are still probably stuck, most of them, in the lower third to half of the corn belt in the United States, not in the field planting. And those in the northern part are planting. And they're all kind of wondering, with yellow corn, wet conditions, half of the corn belt probably too wet, why it is that corn and soybeans manage to continue to go lower.
Yeah, that's a good observation. The like you said, the north northwest is looking for prices maybe to drift lower here from making some headway. Last week, I was only 28% complete on corn plantings. Minnesota 12, Nebraska 34, and the Dakotas, 3%, and 7% for South Dakota. So they're kind of a little negative here with the idea they're getting into the field. Whereas here in the eastern belt, just bombarded with rain here. It's going to be some time for those lower areas to dry out. But as a whole, Illinois was 63% last week. You look at Indiana, 45, and Ohio, 42. And that was the first time around, because there's going to be some replant around. This afternoon, trade estimates around 42% complete as a nation, versus 34 last week, being 16 versus 10% last week. So we'll see how that unfolds. As you mentioned there, short term, we have some moisture in the forecast, but the longer term maps are a little bit drier. Calendar's May 8th, so starting to get critical as we move along and through here, and we'll see how progress unfolds. Definitely, there's going to be some replant, prevent plant maybe. The trade's going to have to sort that out. It's just awful hard to really get real bullish here on too wet weather this first, second week of May. As we get into the last week of May, it could be a different story.
So what are your thoughts on the marketplace in that case?
Well, I believe we're range-bound. I don't think we're going sharply higher or sharply lower right now. For the last month, we have found fairly good support in December corn and near 380, but we get our head poked above 390. There's some selling interest that comes in. Trade's probably geared up for a breakout of that range here at some point in time. Bean-wise, seems like we've kind of had a low here middle part of April and just been kind of gradually making some higher highs and some higher lows. Beans trying to climb that wall of worry of increased bean acres and potentially slow down bean demand. But bean demand has really not slowed that much. Typically this time of year we see some cancellations, but Asia continues to take beans that they purchased. Export inspections are running fairly well. We sold on beans. We fairly well met the USDA target on exports. And at this point in time, I assume they're probably going to have to raise the export projection somewhat. Crop report Wednesday, the significance of this crop report, two things. We're going to be looking at predicting the 2017 carryout estimates. Corn estimate is a carryout's about 2.12 billion bushels, and the average carryout bean estimate is 550 55 million bushels on beans. So we'll see how those numbers fall. Old crop carryout estimates are expected to maybe be just slightly lower due to better export news that we've seen over the last few months. The second thing about this report, it's a full moon crop report, and those are special, Todd.
All right. We'll find out on Wednesday, and then we'll talk with you on Commodity Week Thursday. Thanks so much for being with us today.
Very good. Take care.
That is Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Well, I suspect, like here in Champaign County, many of the cornfields across the Midwest, which are up and that you can see, don't look so good. That's not just about the water. That yellow corn is more about the cold, says Emerson Nafziger. I talked to him. He's an extension agronomist here in Urbana-Champaign. About an hour ago, I asked him to explain what's been happening.
Well, yellow corn is a direct consequence of having cool temperatures, more than it is of wet soils. Obviously, we'd like the roots to get a little more oxygen than they've been getting, but the soils are drying out some, and by now, you know, that's not the critical part of this equation. One of the ways you can tell this is looking across a field. If it's got some roll in it and even some low spots where water stood, where the corn is very likely dead at this point, and it looks yellow all over, that means it's probably not due to the soil conditions, but due to the temperatures. The temperatures are just more uniform than soil conditions at this point in time. And so, you know, the emphasis is shifting from getting it to dry out to when is it ever going to warm up. And it looks like this next week the highs are still going to be in the low 60s and the lows in the 40s somewhere. And that's not a formula to get a crop back and looking good very quickly. People might notice that when it's been cloudy, you know, well, maybe it's the cloudy weather. Not really. The bright sunshine that we've had the last couple of days actually kind of adds a little extra ding to the low temperatures. If it's 40 degrees in the morning and a bright sunshine that day, the leaves actually react by kind of yellowing. They're taking in sunlight energy, but they're not in good shape to do something with it, so it'll actually cause a little bit more damage. They're going to grow out of this pretty well, but it's not going to happen very fast with the temperatures the way they are now. What we really need is some 75 and 80 degree daytime temperatures, and then we'll see it green up once the new growth starts to appear. And of course, with low temperatures, we're getting 5 or 6 growing degree days in a day now. And that's just a very slow rate of accumulation, and it means that growth is going to be very slow.
Any implication or consequence of early season cold weather on seedling corn?
It's a good question, but we don't have a very good answer to this question about whether this has a lasting effect on the corn crop. Our optimistic answer is we don't think so, as long as it can come back and start to grow. April was above normal in temperature, and so we got better growth and early emergence and growth out of the crop in April that was planted before about the 20th of April than we expected. But now with this slow growing degree day accumulations, we're going to get to the middle of April without this crop having made very much growth in its first weeks after planting. If it's one way to feel a little bit better about it, that means that delayed planting, which we're going to have, or the replanting that's going to happen in some fields, isn't as far behind the earlier plantings as it might normally have been. That's pretty cold comfort, but we should be getting about 500 growing degree days during the month of May, and at this rate of accumulation, we're not going to get very close to that. These things can turn around quickly this time of year, and we expect that they will. All it's going to take is a week or two of normal to above normal air temperatures, getting up into the 70s or even the low 80s, and this crop will look better very quickly.
Well, that's Emerson Nafziger here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. He's an extension agronomist. I spoke to him about an hour ago in his Turner Hall office. You can find video from this on Twitter @ Commodity Week. You know, on Thursday of this week, the United States Department of Agriculture will release its first look at this season's corn and soybean crop in the United States. The WASDE figures will be released. That all comes out at 11 o'clock. Check out our website, willag.org. You'll see those numbers there. I'll post my Twitter account. Really, that's how that'll happen. You can just follow me on Twitter as well, at Commodity Week. However, prior to then, maybe we ought to get an update of where we really think we stand in some other figures. We're now joined by Todd Hubbs, an agricultural economist here on campus that takes care of the commodity side of the marketplace. Todd, thanks for joining me in studio. What'd you write about this week for your weekly outlook?
I was updating corn and soybean export numbers last week. The Census Bureau numbers for March came out. I was just looking at, you know, where export inspections are through May 5th, or today, the new export inspection numbers for the week came out this morning. Trying to see where we're at for this old crop consumption, because export's a big demand factor for both corn and soybeans this year. And when you look at the numbers, there's a lot of strength in corn and soybean exports right now. I think the numbers set out by USDA are very attainable, with the possibility that we could exceed them maybe in soybeans, but I'm not ready to say that for sure just yet. But right now the numbers are strong.
Well, tell me about the possibility for soybeans. That number has been really strong, and it appears that the United States has stayed stronger later in the season than usual. However, I have to couch that on the idea that since the rain has fallen, that will have changed dramatically, simply because we can't move things down through the Mississippi River at this time. It's not capable of handling traffic under flood conditions.
Yeah, we've seen, I think, stronger than expected exports through March and April. You know, we normally see it tail off as the South American crop comes in. And there's been a lot of reports out of Brazil that farmers down there are holding on to their soybeans because they're not satisfied with the price. So while they've had a big crop, they're lagging behind their normal export numbers. I think one of the reports said they're about 51% this year for the crop. I think we're seeing that in U.S. soybean exports. They're not huge numbers like we saw early in the marketing year, but still strong enough to where, when you take an account of export inspections on top of what we did through March and forward sales for this crop year, you know, we're looking at easily meeting the 2.025 billion bushels that USDA set out for the 16-17 marketing year, which I would not be surprised if we saw this week maybe a bump back. They took it down 25 million bushels in March, and we'll see what they do on Thursday, but I'm not ready to say that's going to happen yet. You never know what's going to happen with sales as we move forward, and if the Brazilian farmers are going to let go of some of these soybeans as we move through the summer months, and our issues with transportation and the other issues in the river system. But definitely, I think we're going to hit the 2.025 billion bushels, and hopefully we could see it go above that and lower those ending stocks a little bit.
Even if we do that, if we exceed that, most of it's already built into the marketplace and moved through the system. So it's not something producers, I suppose, should depend on as a continuing support mechanism for price?
Well, I mean, if we saw soybean export numbers maintain a higher level than expected, you're right. I mean, it's sort of priced in there. And we've seen crush numbers not where we would think they would be, you know, with the last crush report. So as I look forward to this week, you know, I'm curious as what the crush expectations for the old crop are going to be now and the export numbers are going to be. I honestly think the ending stocks numbers, as I look at the numbers right now, are going to be about the same as they were last month. We'll see. But it has implications, because if we do put in the number of acres of soybeans in 2017 that the prospective planting report said, and we get a decent yield, you know, the higher the carry out, the more beans we're going to have in the 2017-18 marketing year, which will have implications for price, new crop, as we move forward. But I think there's been some strength there. I mean, we've seen soybean prices move around a little bit. You know, with the bad weather out west and the wheat prices, we saw these bumps across the board, and then they sort of came back. I think that was that's I found that to be rational. That's sort of what I expected. And as we move through the summer, you know, if we see strength in corn exports and we can run down those ending stocks and we see stronger soybean exports than expected, it'll help through those summer months into July and August.
Your assessment on the corn side of this ledger?
Corn exports are strong. We're really putting out some really strong numbers, and I don't think they're going to change their export numbers right now, but we're really on pace to export a lot of corn this year. You know, it really does come down to what's going to happen with that Brazil second crop. How are they going to export? And even more important, both on the corn and soybean side, is, you know, what kind of demand strength are we going to see from importers? It's been a lot stronger than maybe I thought moving into the summer months. If we can see that continue, we might see those ending stocks come down more than expected. Combine that with maybe some prevent plan issues and some planting issues in corn. You know, the corn market moving forward is going to be very interesting as we move through the summer and into the fall. But right now, exports are looking very good for both sectors.
So volatility on the line for corn and maybe not so much for soybeans?
I'm still pretty down on soybeans right now. It's just so many soybeans out there, both in South America and what we see coming in the United States. You know, some of the good thing is the crop insurance price set in February is at 1019. So if guys get their revenue protection in place, you know, we can still see that price there. But I'm still sitting in a lot of downside risk in soybeans as we move forward.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Todd Hubbs is an agricultural economist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. This is the closing market report from Illinois Public Media on the 8th day of May. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Mark Russo now joins us from RiskPulse in Chicago to talk about the weather forecast. Thanks, Mark, for being with us. Where do you want to start this afternoon?
Well, let's start in the Corn Belt, where if we break things down regionally, the northern Corn Belt will be on the dry side, albeit on the cool side, as we go through the next week to 10 days. And that dryness is obviously favorable for planting, but the cold will slow down germination, emergence, and early growth. Now, it's the far southern and eastern Midwest which will continue to have more of the significant issues with wetness along with the cooler weather. In fact, that's where the more active zone will be here this week. Now, as we go into next week, we do see rains return to that northwestern part of the belt, and actually for the belt as a whole. So really, from a planting progress standpoint, certainly the most favorable conditions will be over the next week or so in the northern belt. But again, it's not going to have any kind of legs to it as we do see rains return here next week. But by then, you should have actually most of the crop in the ground, since this is a continuation of the relatively dry weather of the past week or so.
Okay, so producers would like a little heat, a little temperature in the forecast at some point. The corn that's up, at least in on my drive here in Champaign County this morning, was a little yellow. It looked wet and cold both. A heat would do it a lot of good. Can you give us better temperatures or higher temperatures in the forecast anytime in the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, Todd, we do see warmth returning to the Corn Belt. Again, it really is into next week and later on next week. In fact, looking at the 11 to 15 day model guidance, computer models are showing warmer than normal temperatures. We agree with that solution based on the overall northern hemispheric patterns going on and what we feel are forcing some of the cooler weather right now. So we do anticipate warmer than normal temperatures during the second half of the month.
And we'll turn your attention to South America, the second crop, corn crop in Brazil. I think it should be, and I haven't looked, but that'll be about early mid-season at this point. How's it doing?
Yeah, Todd, the Safrinha corn in Brazil is doing really good, and that's both in the main winter corn belt in Mato Grosso, but also in the southern belt in Paraná. This is now the dry season. So it's not that uncommon to be on the dry side here right now. And while that's been that way over the past couple of weeks, actually we do see a rain opportunity for Mato Grosso coming up next week. And so that will help to further maintain soil moisture reserves and keeping a winter corn crop in good shape.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate you being with us for the day.
You're welcome, Todd.
And of course, Mark Russo, he is with Risk Pulse out of Chicago, Illinois, joins us here in the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Check us out online at WILLAG.org. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.